thought he was going to say. But anyway. Well, nice to be with you this morning. Even though I can't shake any hands or give any hugs or anything like that, it is nice to be with you all, and thank you for having me. Kind of a special day, isn't it? Special because able to meet finally together, even though 6 feet apart. See that we have reserved pews at Atlantic Gospel Chapel. I didn't think that would ever happen, but kind of nice that we can finally meet together. Our assembly in Dubuque also has not been meeting face-to-face. We have been meeting through Zoom, and so that's been better than nothing, better than the alternative of not meeting at all, but not as good as meeting in person. So it's nice that we can meet. It's also nice, I am grateful that you let me be with you anytime, but especially today, the first day that the Kramers are here having moved here. I know you've been here on Sundays before, right? But now you've moved here just, what, a week or so ago? About a week ago. All right, so welcome to Atlantic. They haven't kicked you out of the town yet, I guess, so that's good. So this is going to be really odd message, and some would say, what, nothing unusual there, Stefan. But I want to talk about the virus a little bit and some thoughts along those lines, but also wanted to just say a few words about the Kramers being here. And imagine this, it was 27 years ago approximately that my family moved out here. At the time, Amanda, when we moved here in July, Amanda had just been born a couple of weeks before. And hard to imagine that, and here I am. Apparently I was 5 years old at the time. So, but we moved out here, and you guys treated us Johnsons with just great kindness, very loving and thoughtful towards us that you were way back when. A couple things that I never felt, you know, you always hear about pastors' kids and missionary kids, and it seems like they're under a microscope, and I never really felt like that from you folks. I remember one time, we'd always sit way in the back, of course, and because we had to take the kids out frequently, because they're like their mother, and I mean, like, anyway, because they were naughty sometimes, and so sometimes we would feel a little self-conscious because our kids would make a little bit of noise, and one Sunday, Norma Jean said to us, you know, don't ever feel bad if your kids are making a little bit of noise. We older folks, we like that. We like to hear a little noise from the kids. So we really appreciated that and thought that was really kind of Norma Jean, and I know all of you are very welcoming to our children, even, you know, warts and all. I remember that Amanda, for a time, would only go to one person here. Only anybody remember who that one person was that Amanda would let? Yeah, Georgia was the only, besides me and Linda, Georgia was the only one that Amanda would go to. But all sorts of faults in our kids, but you were always very gracious and kind to them and to Linda and me as well. Many of you helped us in very practical ways, repairs and when we took the Knight's old house and there were some things to do on the house and a whole bunch of people helped with that and all sorts of things. I was hoping Howard Anderson would be there, would be here. He and Bud did a lot of fix-up jobs in our house. Dwayne Brown and a lot of other people. Grant made a, remember that bookshelf you made at our place that one time, Grant? Anyway, you guys were just helped us with in a lot of practical ways. And I'm sure you'll treat the Knights with also with similar great thoughtfulness. And so I'm excited for did I say the Knights? The Kramers. I was thinking about the Knights' house. You'll show great thoughtfulness, I'm sure, to the Kramers and Alex and Caroline, you're going to enjoy the folks here of Atlantic Gospel Chapel. A couple of passages I'd like to just quickly share. I've got several. Normally, Alex, normally we look at like one topic or one passage, but it's going to be a little different today. So, in 2 Timothy, recently, a couple of weeks ago at our Dubuque Church, we had a brief goodbye to Alex and Caroline and James, and little did we know the other one who's along the way. So I gave this brief verse specifically, especially to Alex. In 2 Timothy 4, it says, "Preach the word." And so I'm sure that Alex will communicate God's word effectively and accurately. And to the rest of you, I'd encourage a passage actually that Bob read or quoted in the first meeting, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." All scripture, and this is scripture, this is sacred writings. That's what the word scripture means. And it is sacred, and is if it is communicated accurately, as Alex will do so, of course, as it's communicated accurately, that is what we most need to hear in life. I was thinking if a little 10-year-old kid is communicating accurately the Word of God, he or she has more to say to us than a scientist or a politician or a philosopher or whatever. When they're communicating this accurately, that's much more important than the stuff those other people have to say. My little 3-year-old grandson was recently quoting to us John 14:6. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." That's pretty good, isn't it? And that's better than anything that all sorts of famous people tell us, that the scientists and the businessmen and everything else can't match up to a 3-year-old quoting the Word of God. All Scripture is given by is inspired by God, and it is profitable. And so we need to be good students of the Word. As Alex is preaching the Word, let us listen and learn the Word of God and put it into practice in our lives. And I thought of another passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Another one that was sort of alluded to in the first meeting. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12. "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body." And so you see that you need all the parts of your physical body, right? And if one part of your body is weak or injured or hurting, it affects the rest of your body. This is the weirdest thing. Recently, just on a couple of occasions, I've known the back of my left knee, it feels like somehow I've almost barely hyperextended it. And so it makes it kind of uncomfortable sometimes to stand for long periods of time. It's really weird. There's no injury that I can think of that I've had, but it just feels odd, like it's slightly hyperextended. I've noticed, actually, since our move recently, that my lower back is sore. Now, we moved just over a month ago, and yet my lower back is still somewhat sore. Am I getting old, Ned? Yeah. Yes. I see a shaking of the head.
A little bit of flu, it gets worse.
It gets worse. Yeah, I'm feeling it. Yep. But so we need all parts of our body. Alex and Caroline, are you going to do all the work of the body of Atlantic Gospel Chapel?
I sure hope not.
You wouldn't want them to, would you? Because they don't have all the gifts. They're not. And what a weak body we would have if we only let a few parts of the body do all the work. If I only hopped around on one leg instead of walking on two, well, I'd have a good strong right leg and a really weak left leg. I also wouldn't be very efficient about as I tried to travel. We will serve the Lord better if we're all working hard for the Lord, all doing our part for Him, and we'll serve Him more effectively, and we will all be more healthy that way as well. All parts, every part of the body is vital, and we have different spiritual gifts in Romans 12, verse 6, when speaking of our spiritual gifts, so says, let us exercise them accordingly. And so I'm excited for Alex and Caroline and James and the other little one on the way and their future with you folks here of Atlantic Gospel Chapel. I'm sure you'll all enjoy one another and serve the Lord well. A few Christian COVID comments. And, you know, we all receive news from Fox News or CNN or the newspaper, for those of you under 40, it's kind of like Twitter, but it's on paper. It's on this stuff. And used to cost 25 cents, a dollar on Sundays. Now it's up a little more than that. They still do produce these things, but they are going out of fashion. But anyway, we get our news, but most of it, for most of us, it's not really on a Christian viewpoint. So these are just a few observations and thoughts that I've had in relation to the virus that's going around. And it certainly is a very serious issue. Some of you know Sue Stratman, an old friend of Linda and me. Linda has traveled with Sue. Sue was very close friends of Linda's parents. Sue Stratman's mother was in a nursing home and not well physically. And then about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago or so, they found that she had the virus and passed away on Monday or Tuesday of last week. So it's a real thing. People are, thousands of people have died from it. It is an enormous issue that we haven't really, most of us haven't really seen anything quite like this. Some of us were talking about somewhat similar experiences, but I certainly don't remember anything close to it. If for whatever reason, and we've got our thoughts, Some of us think it's maybe because of fears people have and because of the mass media and because of politics, but whatever, certainly there are enormous medical issues as well. Linda and I have been hiding out pretty well, real well for me. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't meet with clients face-to-face. I meet with them through the internet, through Zoom. I've been able to either stay at home or go to my office. I haven't been in a store for over a month. I haven't been in a restaurant. I haven't even done drive-thru at a restaurant. I might have to stop and get coffee on the way home, so that might end. But otherwise, because I'm like, I don't know if I can trust the people handing the food through the window at the drive-thru. So Lynn and I have been really careful. She has to be super careful because she works in food services and there are still people at Emmaus that her crew is feeding. Anyway, in all of that, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see the unity of the body and that the body of Christ needs one another. And perhaps I hope that Christians have been reminded of this. I hope that I imagine there are some Christians who have gotten out of the habit of going to church. It's a good habit. There are good habits and bad habits, and a good one is I go to church every Sunday. I imagine there will be some believers who have gotten out of that habit, and they're going to have to relearn that good habit of meeting with the saints on Sunday morning and or other times. My hope is that the vast majority of us have realized, oh, I miss meeting with my brothers and sisters. I miss the fellowship. I miss worshiping together. We can worship apart anytime. I miss receiving the teaching together or serving the Lord together. I hope that Christians in general have gained a greater appreciation for how we need each other and we need personal relationships. And so it's great that our church in Dubuque, we've been meeting through Zoom every week for the past month or so, and it's been surprisingly better than I kind of thought it would be. I've enjoyed it okay, but it's not as good as meeting in person. Doing what we've been doing is not a good long-range plan. It can get us by for a while, but the church needs to be together in person. And so I hope that people haven't gotten this idea, I can make my church home in a faraway country. We all need a local church home where we gather face-to-face with people. Having said that, another thing that hopefully is a good thing that we've learned from this is we can use great, Sonia and I were talking about this earlier, we can use incredible technology to reach the world. I was listening to an audio book on my drive yesterday, a book about this virus, and it was saying maybe one of the things that God is using this virus for is for the spread of the gospel worldwide. And he was thinking more in terms just opening people's minds up to the idea of going around the world. But maybe he's making more and more Christians comfortable with this technology that can be used to take the gospel all over the world so that more of us will, whether we're in Atlantic, Iowa, or Dubuque, Iowa, or someplace else, we can use it for spreading the gospel all over the world. And that would be a great thing that can come out of this. But hopefully one thing is that we have realized that we need to meet with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because a second point, so the first is the unity and the importance of the local church. And a second point is that personal relationships are important. So we've been separated from people. We've had to stay in our homes largely. Some people have to go into work, and some people are able to work from home. Or maybe like I do, I sneak into the office at various times, usually at night, and try to get some work done and that sort of thing. But basically, we've been locked down away from people other than our very close family. And a lot of people have felt real loneliness. Now, I'm the type of guy who doesn't mind being alone for long periods of time. Linda is starting to get real tired of this, as you may have guessed. And she still goes to work a little bit, and she's got a few people that are there in the kitchen at Emmaus working with her. But she's getting a little tired of just seeing me and Amanda and then the people at work, because Amanda's been staying with us. The loneliness and being apart from people. And it might be tempting to think that loneliness is an unspiritual attitude, that feeling like I can't stand this being alone is an ungodly attitude or unspiritual, but it's not. If you look in Genesis chapter 2, this is before the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. There was Adam, and he was all alone. And God looked at him, and he said, this is not good. And so I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. Before sin came, Adam had no sin in him. He was a perfect individual. And yet, he still lacked something. And it wasn't good enough for it to be him. It wasn't even good enough for it to be him and God. He needed someone. In this case, God made Eve for him. In verse 20, it says, the man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. Before sin, that was an issue and a problem, I guess you could say, for Adam. He needed someone, and it wasn't good enough for him to be alone. And I'm one of these guys who is, I'm rather independent, like to be alone, but still we need relationships with people. I found the lyrics for a song from the 60s, I think, by Simon and Garfunkel. Anybody know what song this is? Nope. No, that's a good one too. I am a rock. And it's a kind of a jazzy tune. And it's like, I am a rock, I am an island. And you listen to the tune and you hear those lines and you think, boy, it's like all about being independent. I don't need anybody. And he kind of says that, but I don't think he means it. A winter's day in a deep and dark December, I am alone, gazing from my windows to the streets below on a freshly fallen, silent shroud of snow. I am a rock. I am an island. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. Its laughter and its loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Don't talk of love, but I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock. I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I am shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one, and no one touches me. I am a rock, I am an island, and a rock feels no pain, and an island never cries. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting, and I always thought that was kind of a song about, yeah, it's great to be alone, but it's really not. It's just showing this Paul Simon had apparently been hurt by someone, and I never want to feel that again. But we are not rocks. We are not islands. We do need one another, and we see this here in Genesis chapter 2 and elsewhere. So, again, our need for others is not a sinful weakness. It's something legitimate, I think, that God has even placed in each of us. And so I'd urge you to reach out to others, call people, text people, send cards. We got a card recently from Carol Knight. That was so nice of her. And it just is a real blessing, a card for those of you under 40. That's all right. You guys make jokes about us too, so it's all right. It can go both ways. But reach out to others and think of people who are alone, especially. Right now I've got Linda and me in our home, but some people don't have anybody. And someone was mentioning Howard Anderson, that he's in his room and nope, he probably can't get visitors, right? So, anyway, think of people who are alone and widowed, single, or what have you, and send a card or a call or a text or what have you. Also relating to the idea of relationships and such is I noticed nobody, you guys were so mean to me. Nobody gave me a hug this morning. I was looking forward to Ned giving a big old hug and a kiss on the cheek. 1 Corinthians 16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Are we disobeying God's commandment to greet one? In fact, I don't think I've ever kissed any of you. So does that mean I've disobeyed God's commandment? I think that passage is, the big idea really is greet one another with a suitable physical touch. In some cultures, it's a kiss. In some cultures, it's a handshake. In some places, it's a hug. And it also depends upon the people. You know, if it's a very close friend, it might be a hug. If it's an enemy, it might, no. If it's somebody you don't know as well, maybe it's a handshake or something. When Lynn and I were in Dallas, we went to Houston a few times, and our church, our friends attended a Spanish-speaking assembly down in Houston. We don't speak Spanish, so we only visited there a couple of times. But everybody there greets each other with a kiss on the cheek. I don't remember if the guys do, but at least the women. And everybody greets a woman with a kiss on the cheek. And I had to practice it before going, literally, because it's so odd to me to kiss somebody you don't know on the cheek. But anyway, so we would go, and people kissed. So that was a holy kiss. We can't do that right now, and it's for legitimate reasons. But we are reminded that physical touch is a wonderful thing. And I'm not a very touchy guy, you might remember. I'm not a guy who hugs a lot. And some people, physical touch is a bigger issue than others. But I think for all of us, physical touch is a way of expressing love and care and compassion and that sort of thing. There's even a book called Five Love Languages, and it's based on the idea that there are five ways that we like to receive love and to give love, and some people really like this way and some people like that way, and one of them is physical touch, and some people especially feel loved through physical touch. But it's something we, you know, in this time that we can't, but it's a reminder for us that physical touch is a good way, proper physical touch is a good way of expressing love for one another. When I was in seminary in Dallas, they talked a lot about keeping away from sexual sin of any sort, and that was wise of them to teach us that. And being careful about how you talk to or touch people of the opposite sex, and that was wise to do that. But I think I heard it so much that I was so afraid of giving any wrong ideas, I probably went to the opposite of extreme. I think it probably would have been all right at 30 years of age, if I would give a hug to a woman who's 80 years of age. I don't think it would have given the wrong idea. But anyway, I think sometimes we might go too far away from physical touch in wanting to make sure we keep everything above board and such. I did find this article. There are many, many articles like this, but it's showing some of the benefits of physical touch, of just you know, a handshake or a hug or whatever it may be. Scientific research shows that physical touch helps in these important areas. Decreased violence. Interesting. Less touch as a child leads to greater violence. Interesting. This is the thing that shocked me. The origins of violence in society were related to the lack of, what do you think, mother-child bonding or father-child bonding? Mother-child bonding, according to this. That shocked me. The lack of mother-child bonding. Now, other places you see that almost everybody who's in prison, they hate their fathers, but almost everybody in prison loves their mothers. But anyway, that was shocking to see that. So it's not only the fathers who need to make sure that they're affectionate, but the mothers do too. Physical touch helps with greater trust between individuals. Touch helps bond people together. This is interesting. Physical touch helps with economic gain, probably because touch signals safety and trust. It soothes people. Interestingly, NBA teams whose players touch each other more, for example, win more games. That was interesting. So when Rebecca's running a race, you tell her you can speed up your time if you just shake hands to your opponents right before the race. So anyway, you do notice sometimes if you watch a volleyball game, between each play, the players, they slap hands or whatever. And anyway, so there's an economic gain there. Decreased diseases and stronger immune systems. I've heard that lots of places. Physical touch may help with that. Stronger team dynamics. We touch to initiate and sustain cooperation, one author writes. And so do fist pounds or high fives or whatever to help your team at work or in sports or whatever. More non-sexual emotional intimacy. Interpersonal touch has a powerful impact on our emotions. Studies show a gentle brush of a woman's arm can boost a man's chances at going for a dance. So, Bradley, keep that in mind. You ever want to dance with Brooke, right? Just touch her arm briefly first, and she's more likely to say yes. Overall well-being. Adults require human touch to live. Overall well-being, it says. So anyway, those are some of the ways that physical touch helps. And maybe in this time that we can't, this is a good reminder that when the time comes, we should. I visited in my Emmaus travels, probably 10 years ago, I visited a church down south in the Carolinas, I think. And before we met, I was traveling with a co-worker, and before we got to this church, the co-worker, he said to me, now be aware, you're going to meet one of the elders. He's going to give you a big hug, maybe even a kiss on the cheek. Now, I've gotten plenty of hugs from guys, but never a kiss on the cheek. He just gave me a hug, fortunately. But he was going around and hugging all sorts of people, and I noticed there was a real warm feeling there you didn't necessarily see it in obvious ways, but you could sense that there was a togetherness and a love with one another in this church. And I felt like the warmth that this elder there showed through his hugs really was a big part of that. But for now, that's not what we do in public. And so, as Paul Harvey said, give a snappy salute. Remember Paul Harvey? He said, in flu times, give a snappy salute. I'll skip that. Sorry, I could have spent the whole sermon on this topic. The sovereignty of God is a wonderful doctrine that can help in all sorts of areas of life. When we're having difficulties, when we're in a tough situation, this is a tough time for us as a country. We've been through tougher, but this is a tough time for us as a country, and it's a tough time for most of us personally. And to know that God is in control of everything is a great help to me. Recently, I looked at Matthew 28, verse 18. The Lord Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Do you believe that Jesus has all authority? I do. Sure we do. But when we see that there's something crazy like this virus going on, does that mean that, does he have authority over the virus? It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He's even got authority over virus. We may not like it. It's a serious issue, but he's got authority over it. Boy, that's good to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us so much that he would go to the cross, he can do whatever he wants with the virus. If he wanted to put an end to it right now, boom, he could. He could say, be done, and there's no more virus, and everybody's healed, if he so desires. But that's not his active sovereign will. For some reason, we could speculate on why this is happening and why this one with authority over everything is at least allowing it to happen. And we could speculate and have our reasons. I don't know. I have my thoughts, and, you know, but for whatever reason, he has allowed this to happen. For whatever reason, he allows people to die. For whatever reason, he allows people to, people have car accidents, and people get sick, and people lose their jobs, and all sorts of bad things happen, even though he has authority over all of them and could stop any of them from happening. He could put $1 million in our bank accounts. Wouldn't that be nice? He has the authority to do it. He has got all authority in heaven and earth. But he doesn't do that. He's probably not going to do that for us. We won't look in our bank accounts tomorrow and have $1 million, most of us. But he's in charge, and he rules, and he's a good God, and he loves us. And to me, that's a simple thing that makes that helps me not to worry so much. Why would I worry when I know that the good God who loves me and cherishes me and knows what's best for me can do what's best for me, and I'm well taken care of with him? And that helps, makes it easier not to worry, not to fret, not to be all nervous. I still do that sometimes, but it's good to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in charge of it all. He's got authority over it all. And this is not a surprise, and it's not a shock, and you know, this virus didn't sneak up on him. He knew it was going to come before the creation of the world. He knew about it. And he was in control of it, and he's in charge of it, and he's in charge of our lives. And so that's sovereignty of God, the control over the universe, and the control over our lives, that he can cause all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's that to me, as I face difficulties, as we face struggles related to this virus, that's an awful good thing we can keep in mind, that God's in control. Dear Father, we thank you for that great truth. You are in control. Doesn't mean that things aren't tough. Things with this virus are tough. Things with other illnesses are tough for some people. Things with jobs are tough with some people. Things with relationships are tough with some people. But it's sure good to know you're in charge of it all. And that this is not something that shocks you or makes you worried, Lord, that you've got it all under control. And for whatever reasons, you are allowing this to take place, and we thank you that those reasons are there, and we thank you for your control and your love for us. And we ask you, Father, just to remind us, just to keep this in our thoughts and our brains, that you know what's going on, that you've got it under control. We don't have it under control, but you do. And so thank you for that great news. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.